Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host, as he has been for several shows in a row now, Scott Fish. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. We are talking from your kitchen.
We are.
It's going to sound a little different, right?
It almost has a live feel to it or something.
It does feel different. It really does.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful February day in Minnesota.
It's gorgeous outside.
Not February for much longer, but yeah,
it's t-shirt weather.
Every day is t-shirt weather for you. Today's topic, and you know, I just got back from the combine, but as of this taping, most of the players haven't gone through all the drills yet. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to hold off on some of the rookie conversation for next week.
Yes.
And I think we hit it next week.
I'm excited
for
that.
Some of the stuff, there was a ton of buzz about a lot of different guys at the combine. And I want to talk about CeeDee Lamb in particular.
I want to see if Ruggs or Rager go under John Ross.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh. You know, Ruggs is going to be fascinating. I'll predict right now, Ruggs will go before Judy.
In the draft?
Yep.
It's a really interesting profile because based on his, his market share and his dominant rating in college, guess how many wide receivers have had his market share in college and his dominant rating in college, which are, you know, metrics people use to project, forecast NFL wide receivers, have had a top 24 fantasy season? Zero. Ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's just not very productive. And the problem is, it's like the four great wide receivers for Alabama. So it's,
yeah.
I think sometimes stats that predict things like that are good until they're not. Like, you see a guy with small hands like Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, right.
You know what? There's probably one that's done it. Or short, Drew Brees, you know, someone.
Yeah. Someone
breaks it eventually. Yeah. Yep. So it'll be fun to talk about those next week.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that. This week, we're going to continue in our series looking at free agents that are coming up at different positions. This one is wide receiver. We're already down the path on wide receiver.
Yeah.
So these are free agent wide receivers. And the possible landing spots for them. I want to talk a lot about Empire and Dynasty League value for these players, Scott. And let's start here. Before we even jump into the players themselves, I've got eight potential landing spots for free agent wide receivers. Now, obviously, there are more than eight teams that could end up with guys, but I've got eight that I think that I feel pretty good about. Call it nine.
I got 11.
You got 11? So. Yeah. Well, your list may be better than
mine.
We'll
figure it out.
Okay. I think the top landing spot in order of preference is Philadelphia, because I can tell you who the quarterback is. I know that's a high-functioning offense that wasn't even on your list.
It wasn't. I know Aguilar's leaving, probably. DeSean Jackson should be back.
Well no. Is that the case?
We don't know.
They could have three new starting wide receivers.
It's possible,
right?
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey, there's a lot of talk they're going to cut Jeffrey outright.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's Philadelphia's got a lot of change coming. I think Philadelphia's a fascinating landing spot. Now, the temptation for the second most interesting landing spot would be to say the Patriots, but I don't think Tom Brady's going to be there, and they don't have a functional quarterback
buzz.
On roster
the
right
buzz
now.
Is he's not.
Right. So, and I've been on this side of him not being there. You know, he structured his contract to get out. I think the Patriots are sick of him and his TB12 brand and his conditioning guys and his health guy and all that. And I think he's probably had it with Belichick. I mean, who could do 20 years with Belichick? So that divorce is coming. So I don't have the Patriots here. I think the second best landing spot is Arizona.
I like it.
I think Kyler Murray gets better. You don't have to carry, you know, somebody doesn't have to necessarily walk in and carry like the whole passing game because Christian Kirk's pretty good.
I think Christian Kirk even takes another step forward. Mm-hmm. The reason I didn't have Arizona on my list somehow is actually because they just re-signed Larry Fitzgerald. And I figured if one of these guys goes there, it's going to be a little crowded. That's why I didn't know if it was a great landing spot.
Number three, Green Bay.
Sure.
I think that makes sense, right?
No one is stepping up.
One good receiver. Nobody else has stepped up. A lot of problems there. So I've got Green Bay as the next most favorable landing spot.
I thought that might have been your top.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
which it makes sense. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And it's still very good.
Yep.
Although if I'm thinking Dynasty and Empire, and I'm thinking 3 years out, 4 years out, 5 years out, and if Rodgers is on the steady decline.
These are free agents. We're talking when we talk rookies, we can talk about that. Free agents, maybe they only have a year or two left.
Well, in most of these cases, the guys we're gonna talk about are in their 20s. Okay. Next, Buffalo. I like Buffalo as an option in the with the right kind of receiver to work with Josh Allen's specific skill set. And we'll talk about some of these guys in a minute.
I can think of the exact guy that you're thinking of, I'm sure.
Las Vegas is number four, which I had originally typed as Oakland.
See, I wrote it as Oakland.
Glad I wasn't the only one. you know, for them, nobody has stepped up. Aside from Tyrell Williams, and even he was really spotty.
Injury-prone, too.
And injury-prone.
Well, not prone, but yeah, he got injured.
Yep. Well, he got injured with the Chargers, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicago comes in at number five. You know, maybe they're more active than people think. Because
maybe they get one of the XFL quarterbacks to play for them.
Go. But what if they get Brady? I think they'd be foolish not to investigate.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks out there, but they can get any of them, really.
It's possible. Next, I've got Baltimore. Because they had no team had less yards to the wide receiver position last year than the Ravens. Now, part of
feels
it is
like
because
it's yearly.
They had two rookies and, you know, that were taking a lot of snaps. Mm-hmm. But part of it's also they just don't pass enough. And that's why even though the Baltimore offense is great and Lamar Jackson's arm can be good, they just don't pass enough, I think, for them to be any higher than that.
Yep.
Washington, they hit pay dirt on Terry McLaurin, but I don't think they have a functional quarterback right now.
Yeah, that's possibly true. I think they're going to want to give it a go with Haskins just because of the draft capital they put into him. I'm not completely out on Kelvin Harmon yet, honestly.
Okay. All right.
I think that he had a few okay 3-4-5 catch 50-60 yard games at the end of the season to give you a little bit of optimism there. But it's a spot.
It's a spot.
Back to the Bears. They just released Taylor Gabriel within the last week or two. So
yeah, so they've got a little. They do have some room. Yep. Indianapolis. Very little after T.Y. Hilton. I'm not clear on what the quarterback situation is going to be. Most people feel like this is going to be a Rivers or a Brady that walks into Indianapolis. You get the advantage for those quarterbacks of a great offensive line that can help keep you upright. Yep. Reasonably good running attack, pass catching runners.
T.Y. Hilton tearing the top off.
T.Y. Hilton, if he can just stay healthy, would be much better. Paris Campbell, room to improve. So I've got Indy as the next one. And then you've got a couple on your list I didn't have. You had Denver and San Francisco on your list that I did not. And the Jets. I didn't put the Jets on my either.
The Jets have no wide receivers.
Yeah,
so that's
Robbie
Anderson's
only reason. Leaving. Yeah. And so you're right.
And Robbie Anderson, based on social media, is not coming back.
No, I don't think he is coming back. So the Jets probably deserve to be higher on this list in the 4-5 range, I think.
Yeah, just they could just have a lot of opportunity for volume.
Let's start here with the receivers as we start to actually get into the receivers.
By the way, Denver on the other side of Cortland Sutton could be a spot too. But I think they kind of like Tim Patrick.
I think they do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about Deshaun Hamilton?
Deshaun Hamilton.
I mean, he's
slot,
promising. Right? I mean, he's not, you know, I don't think they're major players here, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's dive into the players, and we'll try to find some good matches for them and talk about the Fantasy Dynasty Empire League value for these players in their new homes after we come back in moments. All right, we're back. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish with you. Let's dive into some of the players that are notable free agents. There's, of course, dozens of free agent wide receivers out there, but there's only a handful that we care about.
Devin Funchess?
Never. Don't care. Glad. I am really hoping I can just forget who he was. That would be great.
He's been a bane of my existence for a long time.
Tempting, right? Remember the huge week one and
the
two
problem is everybody has this hype for him, and I've never liked him. I've never liked his game. He's just been big.
That's it. That's all he's brought to the table was the size that he is. That's it. Let's start here. Amari Cooper. Now, likely stays in Dallas, but I don't know that it's 100%. Everybody seems to believe that it's an absolute lock. I don't know. Do you have the same? What's your level of confidence?
I don't think it's a lock either. I think Dak's kind of a lock, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mike McCarthy takes that job if Dak isn't staying. And if Dak stays, I think Cooper might be a little more willing, but do they have the money to sign him at that point? That's the problem.
That is the question. Now, they do have a fair amount of cap flexibility in Dallas. And he's young. And I think the maybe the best reason, you're talking about your draft equity, they gave up a first round pick to get him. And I think if you don't sign him, man, was that a, you know, then it, the rental just wasn't worth it for a season and a half of Amari Cooper.
And no playoffs, right?
Yeah. Now, if Cooper were to leave there, he makes any of these destinations a whole lot better, but would love to have him with a high quality passer like a Carson Wentz would be to me an ideal scenario for him.
Oof, yeah. That would be really good, especially so, he can be good anywhere because he's one of the elite route runners in the league. I was trying to think of, is his skill set underneath? Is his skill set deep? No, he's just an elite route runner. Any quarterback can work with that.
Yeah, for sure.
He's good anywhere.
Yep. AJ Green, fascinating fantasy prospect for 2020 and beyond.
Maybe not the Bills.
Maybe not the Bills.
Maybe Cooper's skill set doesn't help the Bills.
Well,
it'd help the Bills.
It would, but there are probably some better fits.
Yeah.
What do you think about AJ Green? So, you know, we know he can perform at a super high level. We know that he's also been increasingly injury prone. He's 31 years old, which puts him on the wrong side of wide receiver, but not the end of the wide receiver. I mean, elite receivers play into their mid to late 30s and fairly productively. AJ Green could have another contract's worth of production in the right place if he can stay healthy. Nobody's going to be interested in it. He's going to be cheap.
Even in the half season he played like last year or whatever, he was really good.
He's a great receiver.
It was a year and a half ago, too.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I know. And then you have the whole thing with last year and the injury. Mm-hmm. You know, was he milking it? You know, did he just not want to play for the Bengals?
And it's possible. I mean,
you know, it is possible, right? So if I look at potential fits, if you look at potential fits for AJ Green, is there some place that you think he makes more sense, or is his skill set so broad that you think he could work pretty much anywhere?
I think he could work pretty much anywhere, but it would be interesting to see him in a place like Indy across from T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be a scary duo just because the sheer time the line would give the quarterback for those two to just make
it open.
Out
right.
There.
And T.Y. Hilton takes the top off and then under, you know, and not that AJ Green is slow, but you know, he's not slow, but you know, his bit is more on physical body, boxing up, leaping catches. Contested catches. The one place I don't like AJ Green is Buffalo, because I think you have to have one or two skill sets to work with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. You either get separation downfield for the big arm or
separation
run after
off the
catch.
Line. And run after the
catch, you know, so because Josh Allen's accuracy goes down a lot as he throws the ball farther downfield. So if you can keep give Josh 10-yard completions that you turn into 18-yard completions, that I think that helps
a
lot.
How good would Deebo Samuel or A.J. Brown have been in Buffalo? Just looking at how they played after the catch last year.
Would have been helpful, for sure. I'm intrigued by A.J. Green, and I suspect wherever he lands, I'm going to like him more than other people are going to. I think a lot of people are not going to be able to look past the last 2 years, and I think I'm going to be ready to.
Let's take our purple tinted glasses off for a second. AJ Green across from Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I don't. I love it. I love it as a fantasy player. I hate it as a Viking fan.
Viking fan, it would be bad news. Robbie Anderson, a fascinating talent. Uber fast. Mm-hmm. You want to talk downfield separation.
Yeah.
Here's your guy. So, to me, and by the way, lots of reports that he's not going to be back with the Jets. And we know AJ Green's not going to be back.
His tweets of wanting to be with a contender pretty much. Yeah.
That says plenty. Right. Now, Buffalo is a contender.
Sure.
Buffalo is right now is the leader to win the AFC East by a wide margin.
Interesting.
Right? Compatriots don't have a quarterback.
It makes sense
right now. Right?
I get it.
So, I mean, I think. Yeah. Based on the players, assuming Brady doesn't come back, this is going to be a bold and possibly moronic statement. Assuming Brady doesn't come back, and if the Dolphins can hit on two of their three first rounders, I think the Patriots finish last. If they have to go to war with, you know, if they don't land Phillip Rivers and they don't land, I don't know, Cam Newton, you know, if they don't find a real solution at quarterback, then, you know, there's a scenario where the lowly Dolphins, 5 wins last season, end up better than the Patriots.
They also could use a quarterback, unless they could bring Fitzpatrick back. But
Dolphins, no, they're bringing Fitzpatrick back. He's under contract.
Is he? Oh, yeah. I like a lot of what the Dolphins have right now. They need a running game, but and to bolster that offensive line, but their wide receivers and tight ends,
yeah.
I kind of like them.
See, this is the dumb thing about the Laremy Tunsil trade. You had Laremy Tunsil, who you knew was good. Mm-hmm. You got a first rounder for him. You got to turn that first rounder into an offensive lineman who you hope is as good as Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
So yeah. Why make the trade? I don't get that.
No.
All right, let's move on. Robbie Anderson. I love him in Buffalo. You yep. with me on this?
Yeah.
That's the landing spot we love when
we talked about that. Yeah.
Maybe Baltimore because the Lamar Jackson does have a big arm. Mm-hmm. They don't throw a lot. Robbie Anderson's never been a
volume
guy.
Have Hollywood running down the field, though. I mean, do they need just two people running streaks and Mark Andrews in the middle?
Maybe.
Like two posts.
So bad?
Two people running posts?
Emmanuel Sanders is 32 years old. He's the oldest player we're going to talk about out of this group of
quality
free agents.
And he's still got it.
He still does have it. He played the second half of last year with that back injury that he suffered, I don't know, like week 10 or something. Mm-hmm. And then he played injured the rest of the way, all the way to the Super Bowl, was still reasonably productive. Now, the 49ers cap situation is not good. And I think he's probably gone unless he says, wow, I made it to the Super Bowl with this team. And maybe I'm willing to play for less. But he's a guy who's already been to two Super Bowls. Now this is his third Super Bowl. It was this one from last month. So I don't know that he's as motivated by that as some people. I think he's elsewhere.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think probably the same. It depends on if he cares more about getting paid or if he cares more about, like, I got a feeling he really liked the vibe of that.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
That franchise.
Yeah.
So if he wants more money, he might have to go elsewhere. But if he just wants to stay for the chemistry and another, mm-hmm. Playoff run, I could see him staying.
So we think staying with Emmanuel Sanders, we believe that Philadelphia is going to move on from the next guy we're going to talk about, Nelson Aguilar. That mm-hmm. opens up their slot position. And to me, Emmanuel Sanders is best running out of the slot. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a nice fit for Sanders to go to Philadelphia, veteran player.
A slot receiver in Philly with hands? That'd be so
weird.
Wow,
wouldn't that be something? Yes. So that would be my preferred spot for Emmanuel Sanders. All right, let's go to the aforementioned Nelson Aguilar. Philadelphia media says that Aguilar is unlikely to be retained. He's already being connected to Frank Reich in Indianapolis. Anytime they've tried to put Nelson Aguilar anywhere other than the slot, he has been bad.
Yeah.
He is a slot receiver. Hey, Indy needs a slot.
Sure.
Yeah. I think so.
Zach
sometimes
Pascal's
it does
mad
make sense.
Right.
Exactly.
So mad at you.
He's a big listener. The Colts finished with the third fewest wide receiver yards last year. So, I mean, they've got real need at the position. Eric mm-hmm. Ebron's not coming back. That
nope.
deal's done.
Nope.
So I think there could be, the Reich connection is a convenient storyline, but there really could be something
to it. It's a good fit. Yeah. Take away the Reich thing, and it's still a good fit.
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to Randall Cobb. He's 29 years old. Mike McCarthy says he'd like to keep Cobb in Dallas, and obviously he's got a long history mm-hmm. with Cobb. And
yep.
he was shockingly good last year.
Yeah, he was.
You think
far
the Packers weren't
think.
Like, oh, why did we go to Geronimo Allison, also a free agent? They could have had Cobb, who put up 55 catches, 800 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
By the way,
had like 3 touchdowns called back for various reasons over the course of the year.
We are talking football, not fantasy football as much, though, because Cobb was so tough to predict
so
last
tough
year,
to peg.
Though.
Yes.
He had an okay year, and he looked good in a lot of games, but man, he was tough to predict.
He was my take a chance on me guy a couple of times, and one of the times, like the third play from the game, 80-yard touchdown, called
nice.
Back on penalty.
Oh, man.
And then he ended up with like 3
what's,
catches, 30
what's
yards.
The reverse peacock noise?
We have one.
The
on
captured screen. Peacock? Or
I know, yeah, I we know. did have some anti-peacock. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
That's the fantasy duck. We're not positive what that is.
Yeah.
He needs to play the slot. So you look at teams that need the slot help. It's not Arizona.
Mm-mm.
It's not Buffalo. They got Cole Beasley.
Then again, Arizona usually puts like seven
slot receivers on the field.
I like
that
we both came up with seven on the random.
We talked about the Eagles as a destination. Las Vegas is a destination for a slot receiver. Chicago really doesn't need one. Baltimore could. That could make some sense, although they love their Willie Snead there for reasons I'm not very clear on. Washington needs a slot receiver. Indy needs a slot receiver. It's a lot of options for Randall
I
Cobb.
I take umbrage with that, my man. Trey Quinn is an awesome player.
Of course, you and Trey Quinn. you know what? You're going to get the last laugh on this, I imagine,
it's gonna
at
happen.
Some point.
It's going to happen at some point.
I hope you're right. Yeah. Breshad Perriman is 26 years old.
Ooh, and, you know, this is an interesting one.
We would have thought him to be an absolute stone cold bust were it not for
week 13 him, through 17.
Weeks, yeah, well, and particularly 15, 16, 17 that were bonkers for him, where he just powered people through the fantasy playoffs. I think, you know, because of the age and because of the fact that he did have those good games, I think there are going to be some teams that have that same air it out mentality that Bruce Arians has, and they're going to roll the dice on Perriman.
Weirdly, his biggest issue was always his hands.
Yeah, the drops.
And he made some amazing catches at the end. It's almost like, you know who else had that? Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. Early career drops turned into Davante Adams.
Yeah. Although Perriman's dropping problem, I think, was way worse.
Oh, sure, sure. I'm just saying, you know, that he had the athletic ability. Mm-hmm. He's always been a fast downfield receiver. He made some really athletic catches at the end of last year. I think there are teams that are going to think he's past that early season stuff.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be teams that will want to try to see if Breshad Perriman is still got some game-changing, deep reception ability.
And the reason he's only 26. Got a couple one-year contracts in a row here is because people are like in camp, in practice, we see that there's something there.
Right, right. It'd be nice if Tampa kept him. Honestly,
yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Fantasy-wise, that's not as great.
Wherever Jameis Winston goes, I'd like to have Breshad Perriman go. Can we just get those two as a package deal, maybe? I'd like to see that.
I'm starting to think Winston stays in Tampa Bay.
I kind of am,
Bay.
Too. I don't know.
I can see Arians just, devil, you know, can I fix this? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, trying to venture with someone else.
I'm leaning the same way you are.
And what is the reasoning? Like, what team would pay more than Tampa? Like, what team out there saw 30 interceptions is going?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I want
Jameis
that guy.
Jameis Winston. Right.
30 interceptions is a coach killer. So, I mean, you'd have to be so careful with that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Arians, we love that marriage between Arians and Winston from a fantasy standpoint because it's just recklessly throwing downfield, and that ultimately pays the bills for fantasy owners. Last guy I want to talk about, Josh Gordon.
Really?
You know how old he is now?
29.
Yeah, nice job. 28.
Was it right?
He's 28 right now.
Okay.
He might be 29 by the time the season starts.
Okay.
Today, he's 28 years old. As longtime listeners of Fantasy Football Weekly know, I'm not a believer. Haven't been into this. I haven't been into
him. His
last
good season was 2014, I think.
Yeah. We're now five. This will be a sixth season removed from meaningful, consistent fantasy contributions. But, you know, I know listeners care. They're fascinated by him. There are people that just love to relive 2014. So
turns 29 right before the NFL draft.
There we go. Oh, okay. All right, good. Yep. I got to believe that there are going to be people that are going to look at the landing spot for him, and they're going to get very excited about the possibilities of Josh Gordon reverting to whatever he was.
Is he not suspended, though, again?
He might be.
I think he might be suspended.
Yeah, he might be out for a whole year. I don't know. Is he? We should probably check on that. He is an unrestricted free agent, but that does not mean that he's not suspended someplace.
He is suspended currently.
Currently suspended. Yeah, they're not going to lift it next year.
Yeah.
I think
this might be it.
Any other free agent wide receivers you want to talk about that maybe we didn't get to?
I don't think Demaryius Thomas
doesn't move the needle for me.
I mean, you could throw out names. Taylor Gabriel was just released. Paul Richardson's gone from Washington. Devin Funchess joked about.
That was a $30 million contract they gave Paul Richardson. Oh,
unreal. At Colorado, he was amazing for a couple of years, got hurt, and then he somehow made it back from that, and just he never made it.
Yeah.
Corey Coleman, Jarius Wright, third down specialist, Jarius Wright. There's just no one on this list I see that's worth much conversation, honestly.
Okay.
Philip Dorsett, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't fantasy viable with Tom Brady, but I don't know. It's, you know,
I think there might be XFL players worth more discussion than some of these guys on this list.
You might be right about that. All right. This has been a ton of fun. Next week, we'll start diving into rookies. Congratulations for getting to the end of the podcast. It shouldn't be a battle, but you're 24 minutes in. And again, if you made it, that's great. We love you. Thank you for sticking with us through the whole thing. We'll be back next week. Rookie conversation, highlights from the combine. I want to spend a lot of time receivers and running backs in particular. A little less. I'm quarterback too, but you know, those are the positions that are so unbelievably deep and interesting this year to me.
Mm-hmm.
Running back, wide receiver, and especially wide receiver. So many guys to talk about.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to break receiver into probably a couple of different shows.
We might.
We might do five or six at a time, something like that. Great job, Scott. Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody who listened in. We'll talk to you next week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.